So where were we in our last episode? You know, when you read the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'll be around today, so bear with me. But especially, because we had a lot of people raise their hands as new. And my assumption is, you guys are with the Fifth Tradition Group, so maybe a lot of you have already been introduced to this blue book. But if you haven't, let me tell you something about this book right here. You know how you can get those Netflix and you can binge watch? See, binge watching is different than it used to be. It used to be when you had to watch a program every single week, they'd leave you with a cliffhanger and you couldn't wait for the next week. When you read Bill's story, it's like that. You know, it's got pieces in there where you can't wait to see, what's he going to do next? What's he going to do next? You know, Bill is like, oh, you know. And then he said, gradually, it got worse. Oh, shit, what happened? What's getting ready to happen now? What's getting ready to happen now? You know, and so I love this thing right here. And they put new stuff in. They put new stuff in. So when you read it, you'll be like, dude, why are you still going through this thing 31 years later? Because when I read it, I'm like, wait a minute. That didn't read like it used to read. So it's always changed. It's dynamic. It's not static. It's dynamic. It's always changing. It's always moving. So where we left off in our click, we were talking about this God idea and this God concept. Why do I need a concept of God? Why would I need a concept of God? I don't need a concept, for instance, of I don't need a concept of John Shire. I can look right at it, you know. Handsome gentleman, you know, distinguished looking, you know. So there are things we can see, brown hair, you know, probably about a biscuit or two over. He could go stand the drop one or two, but not bad. Where Kathy at, you know, Kathy. He's huggable, you know. But we can look at John. There are things we can all agree on. We can see him. But the thing about this God idea, this thing you guys are talking about, I suffer from an illness that only a spiritual experience occurs. I know where you're getting ready to go, Ralph, and I'm not feeling that. That thing, when we talk about agnosticism, one of the things I had to look at with agnosticism, what is the working definition for we agnostics? And so here's, you know, if you go to Webster and I'm going to keep it really loose, so don't hold me to it. And for those of you who pulling out your dictionary, don't be like, dude, don't know what he's talking about. Atheist, you know, one end of the extreme. An atheist believes you can prove the non-existence of God, believes it's provable. He can argue it. He can show it. A true believer believes he can prove the existence of God, can prove it, can show it, is willing to argue it. An atheist doesn't believe or disbelieve, doesn't believe that God can be proved or not proved. You know, an atheist. So what are some working definitions for, agnosticism. So what are some working definitions for agnosticism for a guy like me? Well, for a guy like me, one of the working definitions, new friends, when I came to that chapter, one of the things I looked at was a guy who, you know, who may have believed in God but acted like he didn't. If you put my actions right next to a person who didn't have a God, you couldn't tell the difference. A person who believes that there is a God but believes he doesn't work for me. A person who believes that there is a God that works for you but he don't work in my life. A person that believes that you can't prove there is one and you can't prove that there isn't one. A lot of things, so agnosticism runs deep. Even with people who are believers, there's so much meat in that chapter, we agnostics. Because what it talks about is, and the deal for a guy like me, coming from the street, coming from toe-up, coming from 33 years old and giving up on life. I need something that's real. I don't talk about, I'm not at a workshop. I don't come here because I want to be the AA guy that's sitting up here getting accolades for being able to, air quote, take you through the work. And I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy. I'm not the guy that stands up here because I'm the virtuous guy either. I'm the hungry guy, you know, and I'm the beat up guy and I'm the surrender guy. But I like to work and I like to talk with men and women. Just want to be dads. Just want to be mothers. Just want to be better sons and daughters. They want to do this thing for real. Not just coming in here because it's something we do inside the rooms and then I pick up a couple of sponsees and I puff up. You know, I work with real people in real life. Not one of these people that if you don't know how to put a toothbrush in your mouth, call me every morning, I'm going to tell you when to brush your teeth. I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy. You know, I'm a guy that lives in real life, and I'm old. And I'm a guy. I'm a guy for whom life gets big. It gets big. It's scary being grown every day. You know, they say youth is wasted on the young. When you're young, you can't wait to be grown. I can eat cake whenever I want to. You know, I remember when I was a kid, you know, why would they just wait for dessert? When I get to be my, when I have my own place, I'm eating cake every day. You know, just little frivolous stuff, you know. But when you're a kid, can't wait. You know, women in here be up in heels, getting your mama's heels when you're 12. Oh, I know, I can't wait to be grown, putting makeup on, all that stuff. You know, and then when you're grown, you realize you can't go back. You know, that's why I have a lot of fun up in here. That's why I have a lot of fun. You know, because this idea of life getting big, I'm going to tell you something about recovery. This letting go and letting God. You know, I'm a guy that's been in the shell most of my life. I was a scared guy. You know, I was a scared of girls guy, and I was a square guy. And I didn't get a girlfriend till late. I didn't have sex till I was out of high school. And that wasn't because of virtue and because of waiting. It was out of fear. Because I'm scared and I'm a shy guy and I ain't the Casanova and I'm not the one. But in my head, I'm all this. So alcohol and drugs, you know, alcohol and drugs never made me somebody else. It made, it, for me, it felt like it made the real Ralph stand up. Even though I was a shy guy and I was a square guy, I used to look it up and think to my, and be just. Be judging cold and be judging hard like I'm doing all these things, but I'm a scary guy, you know. And so even coming into the rooms at 33 years old, you know, what'll happen as a result of this letting go and letting God? I like to be chronological and I like to be sequenced, but I'm going to jump out for a minute. I'm going to talk about when we read the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, there are three things that happen at every single one of our steps. The first thing that the Big Book is going to do is going to introduce me to, you know, why I need to take this step. It's going to go to great pains to show me what's going on that makes a guy like me need to take whatever the indicated step is. Then it's going to give me precise directions on how to apply that step in my life. I'm not one to say work, it's how it applies in my life. And then the third thing it's going to do with every single one of our steps is there are some promises. I was reading something on Facebook where there was a big long string of discussion. There are no promises, but they miss me with all that. I'm not the correct, you know, terminology guy. I call them promises because that's what they feel like. There are promises at the end of every one of the steps. The results I get if I apply this step to my life, and I'm a results-oriented guy. And so I'm going to talk about some of the promises of this let go, let God deal. Why I let a guy, why a guy like me needs a God in his life. And the biggest reason is it works. When you get in this deal, see, folk like us come in here from various places. The men come in here. I'm going to tell you one of these big keys, fellas. It's the same with women, too. One of the big keys to getting this thing, one of the biggest impediments to get humility. Humility. Most cats come in, arms folded. You know, grown-ass man. You can't tell me that. You know, hating on a guy standing up here. You know, why y'all laughing at him? You know, why y'all, you know, he ain't all that. You know, I could be doing that too. Just let me, you know, just give me a shot. Put me in. Give me a shot, you know. Just give me, you know, but humility. That's why that sponsorship thing early on, it's not as though I'm huge on it, but I'm not the same as a lot of people in the sense of just get somebody. You might not even stay with them, but in the transaction, there's so much power. There's so much power in a guy finally saying, I don't know. Help me. Help me. We ain't a help me group. You know, we ain't a I don't know group. With places we come from bars, and we come from, you know, we come, some of us come from walking the yard, and we come from dope houses, and we come from spots like that where you don't say, I'm powerless. Really? You know, you don't say, you don't tell on yourself. You don't tell your bit. We come from sordid spots. We come from spots like that. And we have shells that we built for long. And this let go, let God idea, this surrendering idea, it's big, but it's powerful. What will happen for you if you, when I get into this deal, what has happened for me, I will find this power. And what happens is the thing about that, the whole deal. 12-step process, this let go, let God. Well, where am I going to find this God and how am I going to find this God? The whole deal summed up in two words. Grow God, shrink Ralph. Whole deal. Whole deal. That's what this 12-step process is designed to do. It's an ego-reducing process that a guy like me can use to inflate his ego. That's the cold piece to it. You know, yin and yang to everything. Yin and yang. You know, God, I can use the, it's designed for one thing, and I can use it for the entire opposite. You know, this ego-reducing process called the 12 steps, I can use it for ego inflating. I don't need nobody telling me about it. What I'm going to go to a workshop for, I know this book. You know, you want to know something about it, come see me. You know, you know, you need to holler at me while you look. You know, but this whole ego reducing, and the thing about ego reduction, the thing of grow God, shrink God, you ain't got to go looking all over the place for this power. You know, later on, when if I really stay in sequence and talk about this deal, the way it's outlined and we acknowledge this, deep down in every man, woman, and child is a fundamental idea of God. It might have been blocked by calamity, circumstance, by worship of other things, you know. And so it's this ego-reducing thing is the whole deal that we talk about, because God does one thing, and he does it for everybody. It really irritates me when people talk about we're the chosen few. Really? What kind of God is that? There's somebody right now on the block somewhere, and he can't get it out of his mouth, and God is saying, ain't your turn, I don't believe it. But that's my concept. And let me throw a disclaimer. For the whole rest of this workshop, when Ralph says what God does, or does, you can feel free to discount that totally. Because I have no idea what God does, what God thinks, what God. But for purposes of the conversation, we got to have a common meaning. So I'm going to talk to you about Ralph's concept. I'm going to talk to you about Ralph's concept. But trust me, if God is small enough for me to understand, he ain't going to be big enough for me to trust. And he's certainly not captured inside 164 pages. They wrote in here, more will be constantly be revealed, more to do than not. Because this ain't, don't take this as if it's the treasure. We're in here and we're reading it and we're studying it and we're going through it. But this ain't the treasure, this is the map. The book is not the treasure. It's the map. There is a real power that's at work. And so when I get in touch with that power, and the reason why we do these things and we keep going is when I get in touch with that, but that let go and let God, I'm a preview, and then I'm going to go back and get to where we're supposed to be. For a scared little boy like me, the scared of being grown every day. When you're grown, you got to be grown every day. See, once they start sending envelopes to your house, they keep coming. They don't stop. They don't stop. They don't reverse the process. Once that little one come out your womb, and fellas, once you start, they don't go back in. And forget when they 18. I got one 34. No, I'm 65 and still being mamas. You know what? That scares me. I'm 65 and still sometimes be mama. You know that. It don't stop. And life is big on a guy named Ralph. Stuff happens in life on a guy named Ralph. The book talks about most people try to live by self-propulsion. What happens when you live by self-propulsion? That means you operating on your own steam. Guess what? I run out. I come out hard and I come out fast. Bam. But when I'm operating on my own steam, you know, I'm cool. You know, let me take a breath. And that's so this idea, this God idea, something happened when I gave myself over to this. And I said, build with me and do with me as you will. And God will change you without your permission, but he does need your cooperation. And he changed me in ways I wasn't expecting. gave me something I wasn't expecting to get. I got two little girls that's grown women right now, and they see something in this man that I don't see in myself. They see a rock. I'm not a rock, but they see a rock. Where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? And when you do this thing and you taste this power, you get a taste of it in your life. Here's the biggest thing. Here's the biggest freedom. I didn't know. Because you can settle for relief if you want to. Go to the fellowship. Fellowship real hard. You'll probably get relief. New friends. You've already got a lot of relief from drinking. There's a lot of relief from just putting down the weapons of mass destruction and coming in from the cold. Just come in from the cold. Put them down. And there's a lot of relief in sleeping in a bed on Friday night. There's a lot of relief in getting up on Saturday morning without a hangover. There's a lot of relief in getting up and knowing who it is you went to bed with or if you went by yourself. There's a lot of relief. There's a lot of relief in coming home with a whole paycheck. There's a lot of relief in getting to work on Monday and them not having to come up with another one of them dead grandparents or dead. There's a lot of relief. There's a lot of relief in this. But what the program really offers is freedom. And if I really want the whole deal, and I'm not a seller, and see, that's something. Sometimes I take it for granted. It's a blind spot in my sponsorship. You know, I take for granted hunger. And because I'm, to be honest, some of what it is I do, I can't take credit for it. I've never been a half-measure guy. I just never have been. I've never been, I'm a big appetite guy. I'm a greedy guy. I'm a hungry guy. I'm a hustling guy. I'm going to sit around and wait for something to come. That just ain't been my mentality. Never have. I'm not a sipper. Never have been a sipper. You know, and so some I have a blind spot sometimes when people have to be motivated, prodded, you know, direct, you know, okay, here's a carrot. But that's not something that I self-will in my, that's how I'm built. That's my makeup, you know. And so I'm being like that. But the other thing that I found as a result of coming to you guys and letting go and letting God, and this is the thing. It's the deal. Because I'm a fitter in. I like fitting in and I like saying the right stuff. I was at a meeting, my home group, first home group, spiritual meeting. And we standing outside after the meeting's over. And I'm standing outside in the back with some of the fellas. I know you guys will find this shocking. But immediately after leaving a meeting, there are some fellas in the parking lot. How should I say? Speaking on matters that are not the most spiritual. I know you find that shocking and hard to believe at a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. But there are some gentlemen taking women's inventory and, you know, and making plans. And I'm in a circle. And I'm in a circle with the fellas. You know, and I'm, you know, sometimes that's an intimidating thing. I'm a little guy. I always wanted to be a big boy. But I'm me. And I'm on a spiritual path. And there are certain language and certain ways of referring to people, all people, women in particular, that ain't part of what I do. And I'm in the circle, and I'm participating with them. And one of the guys' heads jerked around like this. And I'm so attuned to the way people see me, because I'm trapped in that I realize, just as false as it sounded coming out my mouth, it felt false to them hearing it out my mouth. And I was like, God damn, you, ooh. And I went home, and that sat with me for a minute. Started doing inventory, started doing some work. And one of the things I found as a result of this letting go and letting God and getting on this path, I talk in my own voice. You will find your own voice. You will sing your own song in your own voice. That's pop. That's big. That's big. I don't care where I am. Fellas, not the fellas. I don't care where I am. I talk in my goddamn voice. I talk in my voice. I sing in my voice. I sing my song. I'm a guy, you know, that's huge. Just let go. And I wasn't expecting that. Unintended consequence. Wanted to get it out of my mouth. Wanted to get it out of my hand. Unintended consequence. That kind of growing up. Singing your song in your voice. Your own, that That's huge to me, because I come from that prison of what people think. My brother Ron, Ronnie's attorney, practicing attorney, and I work in the law, and I do stuff. And I remember walking to a meeting one time, and I'm up there, and somebody said, man, ain't you a lawyer? I'm like, yeah, I ain't no goddamn lawyer. Just stop here, you know, riding my brother's coat, just all of that kind of thing, man. I'm who I am. I'm transparent and I fall down. I stumble and I stagger. And the reason for this whole God concept, so why do I need a God concept? Why do I need a concept of God? We talked about that, because you can't see it, you can't feel it, you can't touch it. It's something that, okay, you asking me to believe on an article of faith. And in We Agnostic, it says, you know, I need to ask myself, new friends, one simple question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe? From that beginning, all sorts of remarkable things from that. That's all I need to do. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe? What would make me willing to believe? Well, what would make me willing to believe is, one, I ain't got nothing else. You know, I'm tired. I come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as I have been living it. I don't have anything to lose. And here's the capper. You know, you couple that with something else. Yeah, I'm willing to believe in the medicine, but just because they put it on TV, that don't mean I'm gonna take that medicine. They talk about all the side effects. The side effects is worse than taking the medicine. You might, you know, hair might all fall off. You might be impotent. I'll be like, God damn. You know, I'm scared of this medicine right here. But, you know, so I'm not, just because they advertising it on TV. But so here's the capper. Here's the reason why folk like us start taking the medicine. Because there are a couple of things that will carry the day. And if many of you have been to court, probably on the wrong side of the pole, you know, on the wrong side, and if you've been to court, you know there are a couple of things that carry the day, you know, and one of them is the evidence. And the evidence goes in a couple of ways. There's documentary evidence, there's paper, yeah, that's his signature, yeah, that's his picture, that's him, we saw, or there's witness testimony. And when you come to our meetings, one of the reasons we go to so many meetings, witness testimony. You hear a lot of people saying, I took the medicine and I ain't went back. I took this medicine. I came to believe in this power. Reluctantly, yes. Grudgingly, yes. I came to believe in this power and I ain't had one in 6 months. I came to believe in this power. I ain't had one in 2 years. I came to believe in this power. I got 5 years. I ain't touched nothing. I can't. I'm not stupid. I know I trust myself, and I like to lean on my own understanding of stuff. And I want to be talking all that talk about there ain't no good. Yeah, you know, that's really the opiate of the people, blah, 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 blah. But I'm not stupid. If this many people are saying it, you know, must be something to it. You know, so there is the evidence. How many people believe the electricity is on in this room right now? How many people believe the electricity is on in the room right now? And those who don't, I don't know what's going on with y'all. And those who believe electricity is on, why do you believe it? Because you can see it? Those who are electricians in the room, can anybody in here see the electricity right now? Huh? What do you see? You see the lights, the results. You see the lights. I see the results of the electricity. That's how I know the electricity is on. Many people in here have been sober more than a year. How many people in here, keep your hands up, how many have been more than 5 years? You know, how many people have been sober more than 10 years up in this room? You know. Again, how many people have been sober more than a year? Put your hands up. New friends, the lights. The lights. That's the results. I don't see the evidence of this power, but I see the results of the power. And I'm not stupid. You know, another thing, this medicine you guys asking me to take, I'm not built to take medicine like that. My granddaddy is. You know, he's just a follower. He just do what they tell him to do. They tell him to say, ah, granddaddy says, ah, you know, okay. I'm not that kind of guy. You need to tell me why. You need to show me what's on the back of the thing. I need to examine it, you know, all that stuff. You know, he come from a different era. People just told him and they just did it. I'm not built that way. I'm too slick. I'm too sharp. You know, know, I'm through all that. And, you know, I love when in We Agnostics, when it talks about the capacity to have faith. Yeah, dude, you can take the medicine. You just think you can't take the medicine. You have a capacity for faith. It says, be quick to see where religious people are right. You know, they have been exhibiting a degree of stability, usefulness, and happiness you should have looked for yourself. You know, it dawned on me, as much as I was talking crazy about my granddad, old guy in church telling him, that's why you believe in God. And it dawned on me, granddaddy never asked me for bail money. Oh, Mr. Smart Guy. Really? Really? Wow. Mr. Scoffer. Mr. I make more than you make. I make more in a year than you'd have made in your whole life. Mr. Guy. Oh, granddaddy never. Ooh. Date myself. LO63992. New people are really being like, what? There was a time when phone numbers had letter prefixes. My grandparents' phone number was LO63992. I'm 64 years old. I remember their phone number. They have one phone number my whole life. They've both been gone for a long time now. They have one. They were married 51 years. They have one phone. I can't tell you how many phone numbers I've had in sobriety. You know, I can't. They have one phone number. Married 51 years. Be quick to see where religious people were right. They've been exhibiting a degree of stability. One phone number. 51 years. Home at 3:30 every day. Stability, happiness, and usefulness that I should have been looking for myself. Wow. Maybe there is something to this God thing after all. Wow. Check this out. Maybe the whole deal has been, I've been rejecting a conception that somebody else put on me, thinking that meant I had rejected the God idea entirely. Well, Ralph, why don't you get a conception of your own? That's scary. I don't want a God person on me. I don't want a God up in my bedroom. I don't want a God going with me wherever I go. You know, I do twisty things. I do shady things. I'm a shady God. I'm still stuck in that. You know, I don't want all that on my tip, you know. Okay, you don't need all that on your tip. Just make a decision that just maybe, you don't want to get loaded no more. That other stuff will take care. Okay, I'm willing to do that. Ask yourself, what do spiritual terms mean to you? At the beginning, this was more than enough to affect, you know, and you said a beginning, though a big one can immediately be felt. That, at the beginning, that's all. What does it mean to me? Not my grandmama, not my granddaddy, not my mama, not even my minister. What do they mean to me? Wow. At the beginning, that was more than enough for me to start spiritual progress. So I started on that second step, the excursion, that deal. You know, I got a friend, Steve Lee. And Steve said something so, the way he puts it, I can't say it no other way. So, Steve, I got to give you the credit, but I'm getting ready to use your thing. You know, and Steve talks about in Alcoholics Anonymous, in the second step, we really don't do a lot of talking. We don't do a lot about describing God. Our speakers don't come up here and do a lot of describing the way God is for them. We don't do a lot of that. It's like if somebody said, Ralph, tell me how to get to Vegas from here. And I start saying, when you get to Vegas, you're going to see these bright lights. You're going to see, you know, there's a spot you can go in Vegas, one of the old streets, where you see women out and they topless out there. You're going to see a hotel that's got a roller coaster going around it, man. You're going to see a Hotel Caesars, but it's got a big mall in it with the most expensive stores up in. You're going to see all the... Dude, I asked you how to get to Vegas. When I get to Vegas, I'll experience it for myself. Alcoholics Anonymous, we tell you how to get to Vegas. We tell you how to get to the power. When you get to the power, you'll experience it for yourself. You'll know God however you know God. you'll know God and you'll name God, however you name God. That's, so we tell you how to get to Vegas. That's what most of our, that's what we do. Every street, you know, our, we have a couple of places that are instructive about how we share. One of them we know all the time. We, our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we're like now. There's another piece, too. It says each speaker in his own language, and each member in his own language and from his own point of view is going to talk about how he formed this relationship with this power. Now, he's not going to talk about this power. He's not going to talk about his concept of his power. He's going to talk about how he, what? Formed his relationship with his power. I need relationship. I need relationship. Okay, if I want relationship, you know, me and Leslie have been knowing each other for her whole recovery. 29 years sober, coming up on 30 this year, been knowing each other our whole, you know, and if I see her across the room and I'd be like, damn, you know, she's got, ooh. Let me look at you. I'm just going to look at you for a minute. You know what I mean? But what if I want to do more than look at her? What if I want a relationship, fellas? What do I need to do? Talk to her. We call that prayer. Find out something about her. You know, get to know her. You know, what do you like? Get in communication, constant contact. And the more I want to know her, the more. And then what if I want to form a reliance? What if I want to, okay, now I really want to get, so I get to know you, you know. And we got methods and we got ways to do that. Prayer is that the biggest function of prayer. And a lot of times people, you know, I was reading where people think, you know, that this prayer thing is about this cosmic, you know, Santa Claus. I'm giving out cosmic directions to God. And he's fine. And that, you know, I'm not getting in that thing. I'm not getting in that. What prayer means to you is what prayer means to you. But I always say, you know, prayer, you know, essentially is a form of communication. Prayer is talking. And prayer for me, you know, I said it like that. Prayer may not change things for you, but it changed me for things. May not change things for me, but it changed me for things. And that's what that thing happens. It keeps me in relationship. I'm not talking to nothing. You know, for me, to strengthen this concept and to strengthen this relationship and to strengthen the belief in this, for me, you know, constant contact, constant communication, you know, so that prayer thing. So now I've decided that I'm going to do this thing. I've decided to let go, you know, this letting go and letting God process. I decided I'm going to give up on me because that's what that really is. I've decided that's what that really is. I want to get in this game. I want to get off the sideline. I want to stop handing out the towels at the gym. I'm going to get on the weights. I'm going to get on the treadmill. You know, so for those of us, you know, who are on the treadmill, for those of us who are on the bench, for those of us who are doing pull-ups, for those of us who are doing the damn thing, make it look attractive. Make it look appealing. Make it look available. Sometimes we can make it seem like it's so unavailable. Yeah, it's something that we need to do, you know, but God damn it, you know, it's you need to do it. The work. You know. I'm like, they really are going to shut me down because I keep making references. I'm even going back for myself now. I'm like, damn, I'm getting ready to say, you know, the work. And it's probably only a couple of people that remember Maynard G. Krebs and Dobie Gillis. When they say work, Maynard would be like, work, you know. Work. See, I can say they're going to shut me down. but I'm, you know. I always say, I'm serious about recovery, but I ain't that serious in recovery. You know, if you ain't laughing in the program, you ain't taking it serious enough. That's why, that, you know, these two knuckleheads right here, the Shires, you know, they definitely, you know, they do this thing the right way. You know, I love hanging with John and Kathy, you know, because I'm a serious guy by nature. But I love laughing, you know, I love having a good time. I love my life right now. You know, it ain't a heavy going. We ain't making heavy going a life. For those of you who are new, even though things happen in life, check this out. Things happen in life whether I'm drunk or sober. What side I want to be on? What side I want to be on? It's people sitting in this room right now that have had to put their parents in the ground. That was going to happen whether they were drunk or sober. Guarantee you, with some of the ones in this room right now, that were the ones that took care of it. That blows me away. You talk about why let go and let God. That blows me away. I remember when Les called me on Mother's Day, up 2 years, and told me her mom had just died. And when it came, and all the arrangements, all of everything. And we don't even know that's what we're signing up for when we come in out the cold. Everybody had one of those, how dark it is before the dawn. That every single one of us had a how dark it is before the dawn. And can't nobody tell you it's getting ready to be dawn. And can't nobody tell you what dawn is going to look like. But it's a hell of a way to go. Letting go and letting God. So I come to that second step. Okay, dude. Giving up on myself. I'm giving up on myself. For me. And that gets us to our third step. You know, being convinced that my life run on my will can hardly be a success. Am I convinced that me running my life is unsuccessful? Am I convinced that me running my life is a train wreck? A lot of people that be sponsoring, be browbeating people, be telling people, I don't never trip off that. If your life run on what your will is successful, keep running. Why would you not? Why would you not? Why would I tell you not to? If you having success at it, keep doing it. But if you like me, you're alcoholic of my type, we got something for you. So I got on my knees with a group of people. First time, I was about 18 months sober. My brother and myself, my brother has been sober 3 months longer than me, and he's a year younger than me. And he was my road dog, and I had a boy named Strange. Me, Ronnie, and Strange, we would do everything together, roll together. Strange had me and Ronnie didn't have a car. Strange had a little yellow bucket. Whoever had a panel could use the car that night, taking people around. Just excited about this damn thing, man. Just young guys in our 30s, excited about starting life over again. You know, enthusiastic. You know, I remember when Bill wrote in this story, and he said he and his wife enthusiastically threw themselves into this work. You know, enthusiastically did it. And me and Ronnie and Strange, and we had a meeting, and we heard some people describe, talk about this book in a way I had never seen before. Had never seen it. And we asked two of the members of that group if they'd do it with us. Ronnie and I were staying in my mom's house, and we asked my mom if we could have meeting at her house where we were staying. My mom, religious lady, always was hoping her boys would end up back in church. But my mom, more than religious, my mom is spiritual. And my mom sees results. And if you would have six boys in your house drinking and smoking on you, you wouldn't mess with none of them. You wouldn't mess with what was working either. And this was working. So my mom wasn't really pressing us about coming back to church. Mom was like, you keep doing what you're doing, you know. So we started this workshop at my mom's house, Big Book Workshop. Started it on Sunday mornings. And we did it 1 year with 12 people. That first year, got on my knees. When we got to the third step as a group, and we got on our knees, and we said, God, I offer myself today to build with me and to do with me as you will. Bait and switch moment in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, the bill is, he kind of tricky. They don't talk about that. They don't talk about that part. You know, the people that really worship this thing, be making it like it's biblical. Ooh, it's spiritual, sacred. No, he kind of tricky. He kind of tricky, you know, because he got a bait and switch in there. At the third step, he says, you know, God offered myself to build with me and do with me. Relieve me of the bondage. Where'd that come from? The hell you mean relieve me? What kind of prayer am I praying? I should be praying, relieve me of the bondage of drugs and alcohol. Relieve me of the obsession to drink. What? Relieve me of the bondage of self. When did that get in the game? It's the whole rest of the deal. That's it. Rogue Oscar, that's it. Too much me. Working with a sponsee one time, we were out at breakfast, and she was like, Sponge, I really want to get in these steps. I just think it's so much more to me. I said, baby, we need so much less of you. We don't need more. You know. We don't need more. It's so much more to me. No. So in the book, it always says things like rid ourselves of itself, rid, abandon. It never talks about acquisition. It always talks about, you know, it always talks about relinquishing, you know, abandoning, you know. It always talks about that reduction, ego reduction. That's the whole deal. Too much me on me. Selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our problems. So it says, relieve me of the bondage of self. And I can't overcome me on my own. Leave a meeting, spiritually high, best speaker ever. Shook his hand afterwards. Got with some of my boys after the meeting, talking about, man, I'm going to go home this time. You know, me and my lady, we were kind of at odds. I'm going to go home. I'm going to say something. Hit the front door. I say something. She don't look at me right. Bam, we at it again. Anybody else like that? Just, where did that go? Where did that go? By the time it leaves my head and comes out my mouth, something happened. And they, what starts in here don't come. Why are you looking at me like that? Wait a minute. That wasn't what I intended to say. You know, where did that come from? You know, continue to have the same kinds of collisions with people over and over and over. And I don't know where that's coming from. Continue to do the same kind of shut down in the same places in my life over and over and over and over and over. My daughter is talking, you ain't grown. You can't talk to me like I'm your dad. What? She's 23 years old. She's stating an opinion. Where is that coming from, dude? Just self can't overcome. Relieve me of the bondage of self. That's the deal. I'm colliding with people. I'm in conflict with the boss all the time. I'm in conflict with subordinates at work all the time. I can't seem to get this up. You relieve me of the bondage of self. If you marry, you really can see. If you're in a relationship, bondage of self gets real clear. Parenting, especially teenagers, bondage of self is going to show up really clear. Relieve me of the bondage of self. Why? So I can better do your will. Take away my difficulties. Not going to avoid them. Now, that prayer should be, God, you know, help me avoid difficulties. This is just, you know, take away my difficulties, because that's how I'm going to be useful. That's how I'm going to maximum service to other people. That's our gift in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's what we do. It's what we have. It's our calling. It's our calling. It's our charge. That's what we do. You know, we ain't useful through our successes. Ain't nobody caring that Tara got a problem. Ain't nobody hearing about that. Tell me about surviving a broken marriage and recovery and not drinking. You know, tell me about surviving the IRS coming after you for $80,000 and not drinking. Tell me about losing your house in front of and not drinking. Tell me about that stuff, Mr. Speaker. Tell me about that. That's how, and you see us in knots, and you see us in, you know, you see us in knots after the meeting, and in little groups after the meeting, and you see somebody that came up there, and you see us rally, and you see us do what it is that we do, and you see that person that was hurting, and everybody was rallying, then you see them 6 months later, and they got a girl, and they say, baby, let me talk to you, or they got a guy, and they say, dude, let me holler at you, same one we was rallying behind, now they out there, that's what we do. That's our that's Alcoholics Anonymous. It's the best. Where the fight fans at? If there's any fight fans in here, Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, a fight fan, if you're a fighter, if you're a boxer, one of the keys to you is a good corner man. It's a good cut man. You know, you need a good cut man, because sometimes, and Alcoholics Anonymous is the best cut man I know. Y'all like, wait a minute, what workshop do we come? It's the best cut man I know. Because life is going to do what life does. I don't care who you are. 30 years sober, 20 years old, I don't care who you are. And every now and then when life falls on you, don't be fighting back. Sometimes you got to take a knee. You got to take a stand in a cup. Sometimes you just got to take a break, and then you come back to a meeting. And we put you out there, and we patch you up, and we take you, and we put you together, and we throw you back out there. Baby, you can do this. You a queen. We put you back out there. You a champion. You can do this. And we put you back out there. And that's what Alcoholics Anonymous does. And that's why I get in the game. And that's this let go and let God idea. You know, I let go and I let the God in you wrap me up, patch me up, put me up. And what we do is we stand. Church talks about the afterlife, and I'm not knocking church. Trust me, I'm not talking about that. But in Alcoholics Anonymous, the unspoken thing that we do is, God damn it, we stand. Grown men and grown women. We come from sordid places. We're the ones that they always was. They had to come see about us. And what we do is when life comes calling, we stand up. Goddamn right. Let go and let God. You know, I need one. Because I want to stand. I'm 64 years old. And when it came time for that 34-year-old to get married, her daddy was standing right there. When it came time for that 23-year-old to walk across the stage at Boston University last May, daddy was standing. That's what we do. Talk about let go and let God. That's what we do. Fit ourselves to be a maximum service. You know, and we stand. Let's take a break and we're going to go one more session.